Our first scripture this morning is from Job, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. But ask the beasts, and they will teach you, the birds of the heavens, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Our second verse is from Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
I'd like to begin our time together this morning with a prayer that reminds us of the place that we live in. So will you pray with me? Holy and creating God, we are grateful to be gathered here in the Big Thompson Cache Laputer watershed, which we share with a diversity of plants and creatures. We celebrate our neighbors here on the foothills and the prairies, barn owls and northern pygmy owls, prairie falcons and red-tailed hawks, red-winged blackbirds, American goldfinches, great blue herons, and Canada geese. Single-leaf ash trees, western catalpa, and blue spruce trees, butterflies too numerous to name, crickets, praying mantis, bees, black-footed ferrets, coyotes, fox, prairie dogs, greenback, cutthroat, trout, bears, soapwort, bittersweet, Indian rice grass. We acknowledge that this land is also the traditional territory of the Ute, Arapaho, and Cheyenne peoples. And we celebrate our Plymouth ancestors in this valley, the industrious Russian-German immigrants. May we nurture our relationship with all our ancestors, all our neighbors, and our shared responsibilities to this watershed where we gather today. Amen. I also want to acknowledge that I am well aware on this environmental Sabbath that here at Plymouth, I am preaching to the environmental choir. Our congregation is chock full of environmental scientists and activists. I do not have to convince the majority of you, or maybe any of you, that climate change is real, that we are one with our environment, part of the great web of life, that we have major, perhaps dire, environmental challenges facing us. So this is not a sermon about convincing or consciousness raising. I hope this will be a sermon for you of inspiration and support for the journey of activism and the healing of creation that we are all on together. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, sings the psalmist. In God's hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being, explains Job to his doubting friends. Our question today is, How will we live taking these faith affirmations of the psalmist and of Job to heart? Yes, we will recycle, we will reduce, we will reuse. But how will we live in the deepest places of our hearts and souls? How can our faith sustain us in the struggle? The faith confession and affirmation of our scriptures is that everything belongs to God, was created by God, is animated and sustained by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, perhaps as people of science and faith, you sometimes struggle with an image of God. Perhaps you get stymied by the image of an anthropomorphic creator God, an image that can be easily reduced to a puppet master of the world. Well, this is not the image of God that I claim. Acknowledging the amazing laws of physics and chemistry and astronomy and biology and geology, all of the sciences that keep the universe in motion, my image of God is that mystery behind all the laws, rather than an old white guy with a beard in the sky orchestrating everything. Yet this mystery is not aloof from creation, not removed and just observing. It is intimately in relationship with the workings of the universe, infusing atoms and neutrons and cells and mitochondria. It is in dark matter as well as in stars, in hurricanes as well as in life-giving showers, in the tiniest insects and the largest mammals and all the shapes and size and species in between, in the smallest of newly planted spring seeds and the oldest of trees. The mystery of God is in every human being. Now, the created universe and all its beings are not God, but all is infused with God. John of Damascus, a 7th and 8th century Eastern Christian theologian and the patron saint of icons, wrote, "The whole earth is a living icon of the face of God." Now, I hope you've had an opportunity to see a picture of an icon or maybe a real icon in an Orthodox church at some point. And if you haven't, I've got some in my office. I'll be glad to show you. An Eastern Orthodox icon is not a painting. It is a prayer writing. Its intent is to be a meditative opening, a window onto the face of God through the face of a beloved saint, the Virgin Mary, the Holy Child, or Jesus the Christ. Now think about this for a moment. Because creation is infused with God's Spirit, the whole earth is a living icon of, a window onto, the face of God. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it. In God's hand is the life of every living being and the breath of every human being. The confessions of faith made by Job and the psalmist in our text today can guide and inspire us spiritually, and they can also guide us in our religious, environmental, and political practices. Confessing that all belongs to God leads us into God's righteousness, which is an old-fashioned word that sometimes we run from. It sounds sort of uptight, doesn't it? But righteousness is simply God's ways of living, God's ways of life. And it can lead us, these confessions, into God's righteousness and into blessings for all of creation, including ourselves. Trusting that all of the universe is animated and infused with the mystery of God, we can affirm that we are one in creation with God. Being one with God, we come into God's presence, as the psalmist invites, with the blessings of clean hands and hearts and souls, living in the ways of God's truths. And I believe this includes coming into God's forgiveness for ways we have not lived in accordance with God's love and justice. Therefore, blessed by God as clean and pure and forgiven, we work for goodness. It is our joy. We work for goodness and the purity of God's creation. So you see, it is a circle of oneness. As we seek God and God's ways, we are empowered by the same energy of the animating mystery that empowers the laws of the universe. We are empowered to find God and also to work for God's creation. We cannot do it all on our own. But only in co-creation with the power of God. This is righteousness and blessing. This is living in faith in its largest context. These are affirmations of spiritualities and of guiding principles for practices. Confessing our faith with the psalmist and Job informs how we live in the body politic, within our cities, counties, states, nations. It challenges how we live operationally in the world. And I know that this is no surprise to any of you. Revered Hebrew scripture scholar James May wrote, "To whom do we think practically and operationally the world belongs? To a roster of nations? To the state? To corporations? To whoever has money to get title to pieces of it?" No. Ultimately and existentially, it does not belong to corporations, to individual nations, to individuals, even the land our house is on. It is not for the exclusive use of whichever generation of human beings happens to be in power. The world and all that is in it belongs to God, the Creator, and the mystery behind and within everything. This is the affirmation of faith that sustains our stewardship of creation and our activism for environmental justice. Ask the animals of the earth, the birds of the air, the growing plants of the fields, the fish in the lakes and the streams, the rivers and the oceans. They will tell you. Ask the red-tailed hawks and the great blue heron, the cutthroat trout, the sagebrush, the blue spruce, the white-tailed deer, the raccoons and coyotes and foxes that share even our urban area with us. In God's hand is the life of every living thing. And is not everything living in some manner of speaking? As it is infused with the mystery? Even Horsetooth Rock, all those wonderful rock formations up around the reservoir, in our foothills, even the prairie soil where we grow our food, even infinitesimal quarks that energize all matter and the deep energy of black holes. In God's hand is everything. In God's hand is the breath of every human being. So how will we live? In fear of all that is happening around us? Greed and war and devastation? Or in faith that the empowering mystery of God behind and within creation will lead us to healing action for the world and all that is within it? Listen to the words of our last hymn when we get there. It is an Easter hymn, as if we were singing it on Easter Day. But if God is infusing every piece of humanity, all of creation, with new life, then every day is Easter Day. I leave you with the words of the psalmist from a contemporary translation. Lift up your heads, O gates, O cities, O countryside. Lift up your doors, O ancient ones, O people of God, that the compassionate one may come in. Who is this compassionate one? The beloved. Heart of your heart, life of your life. This is the compassionate one. Amen.